are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. I hope you're all doing okay and that May brings better things than April. It's my birthday month. For now, we're reading Kissing Basilisks and we're up to chapter 9. Chapter 9, Viola is the worst, probably. Here's the thing. Viola didn't like people. Pretty much at all. She was distant from her family, she was constantly at war with her friends, and as for her most recent ex-boyfriend, well, yeah, she had liked him for longer than she usually liked anyone. If there was such a thing as a slow-burn surprise, then that was how Viola had figured out that she liked Hebe. It was a creeping, sneaky thing. But one day she looked around and realised that Hebe was like one of her favourite people now. Despite being so, well, nice and good and geeky and dating Chauve, of all things that usually made Viola loathe just about anyone. But as it turned out, Hebe was pretty great. They became strong allies in the whole Keep Chauvelin in One Piece project. Viola genuinely never wanted to cause her pain. They were friends now, despite all Viola's best attempts to avoid that state of being. Only there was that thing that happened last night that she hadn't even admitted to herself yet. And when that thing was happening, she hadn't thought about Hebe at all. In my defence, Viola said now, glaring at Deck from across the backyard of the Manic Pixie Dream House, there were vodka oranges, and there was sangria, and it was New Year's Eve, and Jules was being a knob. It was Deck's fault, if it was anyone's fault. If they hadn't finally cast the trigger hex on their maybe, probably, yes, okay, break up at the summer solstice, then Viola could have ditched most of last night's party and spent New Year's Eve in her preferred manner, which was to say, wearing pyjamas and watching old movies and being smug about all those losers out there trying to have a good time. But no, she had to make a point about how great she was at being single by partying harder than she had in years. It occurred to her halfway through the night that Deck would probably have been more jealous if she found some friends to play board games with, then he would about her slinking around in a tiny dress at five different parties last night. But by then, she was in too deep. And to cap it all off, she had to get all distracted and furious and confused by Chauve and Jules's completely inappropriate behaviour in the backyard, and no excuses. Hebe, she started to say, but Hebe cut her off. It doesn't matter. Of course it matters. Deck, stop trying to cause trouble, Hebe added, which was fair. But I have to, Viola started to say, though where was she even going with this? Apologising? She hated apologising, except when it happened to her. Stop, Hebe shrieked. And it wasn't about Chauve anymore, if it ever had been. Viola stared in horror at her arm, and the ice spikes jutting out of every spare inch of skin. I hate this so much, she declared to them all. Why is this happening? Karma, suggested a mean voice in her head that sounded exactly like something she would say if this was happening to someone else. What do you think you need to be punished for, Viola? Being the worst? Fair enough. Carry on. Hey, said a slightly warmer voice at her elbow, and Deck held out the coffee pot, looking shamefaced. I didn't bring cups, he said, which was almost, but not quite, an apology. Here, said Hebe, dropping her armful of completely unnecessary towels, which continued to be perfectly stacked even as they hit the grass. Two fake geek girl mugs appeared in her hands, conjured from the draining board upstairs. Viola accepted her mug quickly, drinking deep. The coffee was bitter and entirely lacking in vanilla syrup, but it would do. The spiky ice retracted from her arm, and the unfamiliar magic subsided into a low, curdling chill inside her stomach. Jules drank from the mug Hebe handed to him and pulled a face to match Viola's. He liked his coffee at least 12 times more sugary than she did. "Sorry," Deck added, in a low voice to Viola, an actual apology. Wonders would never cease. "So you should be," she said haughtily. "Talk about a bad time dick move. This morning is random enough without... I know. That's why I'm sorry." "You broke up with me, remember?" she said in a low hiss, in case he had forgotten. Mutual, the whole thing had been horribly mutual, but he said it first, so he got to be the bad guy. She still wasn't sure how she felt about that. "I remember." That sounded like an apology too. "This is a prank," Jules said suddenly. "Gotta be." Viola rolled her eyes at him. "So glad you and your attention span won't be in any more of my classes. Didn't we just say this is an incredibly rare magical stunt, and it almost never happens deliberately? You'd have to be a super high-end mega warlock to pull off something like this." "Yeah," said Jules, "and I don't see Sage here. Or Shove. Speaking of unreasonable levels of cosmic power." Viola glanced around quickly. But of course, he was right. Deck's little sideswipe would have been a lot more catastrophic if those two were here to ramp up the drama. That could mean anything. It was a weird duo to be missing, though. "Did they even crash here last night?"
"Ferd did," Deck volunteered. "He bunked in with me."
"Sage wouldn't do this," Hebe said firmly. "It's not his style, and obviously not Ferd." "Obviously not, because Chauvelin didn't have magic anymore. Plus, he knew better than to prank Viola, who prided herself on her creative streak of cruelty."
"I would totally do this because it's hilarious," said Holly brightly, leaning over May, who tapped something into a mirror. "But I didn't, because I'm not that powerful. And I don't know how, but it's super funny prank-wise."
"Sage isn't replying on his phone," said Juniper, holding hers to her ear.
"Or on MirrorWeb," said May.
"Hebes, have you called Ferd?"
"No," said Hebe, very quickly. "And I'm not going to. Someone else do it."
Viola gave her a searching look, then pulled out her own phone and texted Chauvelin.
"Where are you?"
No reply. Rude.
"There's probably a few professors at the College of the Real who could help us," Viola started to say, already mentally cancelling out all the worst ones to bring a problem like this to. "Professor Medius would be smug and judgy and set them a ton of extracurricular research before she deigned to be helpful. Professor Thaddeon, maybe. He had presented that curse-breaking seminar, after all, but everyone knew he was all theory, no practical use.
Professor Fordyce, and not just because he was the youngest and hottest new prof in the College of the Real. He was the one who'd asked all the crunchy questions at the end of the seminar, challenging several of Thaddeon's premises of research, as well as his personal dress sense.
Yeah, maybe.
Boo! No, Belladonna, you. We just got out of that place," scoffed Holly.
"Some of us are still there," Viola said sharply. "And what else are we going to do? Drink coffee every day and hope this goes away on its own? You're not the one flinging snow knives at your friends."
"Drinking coffee and hoping is definitely a better plan than what I was thinking,"
was Holly's alarming response.
A sound cut through the morning. Viola stared at her phone. "Ferdinand Chauvelin calling."
"He's calling me."
"On the phone?" said May, sounding outraged. "Without texting first?"
Viola answered. Her fingers still felt clumsy, like they might spike icicles through anything she touched. She hated feeling so unravelled. Magic was the thing she was best at, usually. Magic, being bitchy, obscure research that hardly anyone cared about, and a trust fund were all she had going for her.
"Chauve," she answered. hoping it could be down to someone else to tell him that everyone knew who he'd been kissing last night.
"Vale," said the wrong voice. Viola prickled with worry.
"Sage? What the hell's going on?"
"We're at his place. Like, his old place. Beachfront, Gothic, Nightmare Avenue."
"Shit," she said. "That was unexpected in so many ways. Ferd had been avoiding his home for months."
"Why?"
"That's a long story, babe. Can you get here fast? And bring Hebe. We're gonna need her."
"What?" yelped a faraway voice, barely audible over the phone.
"Chauvelin."
"No, don't bring Hebe."
"Bring Hebe," Sage said with emphasis, and ended the call. Everyone was staring at Viola.
"Does anyone have a car?" she asked weakly. "Or a boatload of broomsticks?"
Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.